Good morning, everyone. Hope you had a fantastic Thanksgiving. Hope you got to see some family. Hope you had some gospel conversations with your family this week as you gathered together. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of James. We are continuing in our series in the book of James. We've been walking through this. We're in our last chapter. But starting this next Sunday, we're gonna begin our Advent season. And so we'll be in that through the month of December. But we will continue in the book of James this morning. It's interesting. This is the beauty of expository preaching. It's just like you go to the next thing, right? So this is not your typical Thanksgiving message. The title is Perseverance in the Face of Suffering. So yay, thankful. That's our Thanksgiving message this morning is on suffering. But this is exactly where we're going, and this is exactly what's next, and so we always trust God's timing as we walk through God's Word. And I do just as Benny prayed, and I was praying in the back too, that there's nothing great about anything that I can say. It's God's Word that's powerful, and so I pray that you'll, that's why I love walking through Scripture, is because we get to go, and this is exactly what God's Word says, and so I pray that you guys are opening your hearts right now to just being excited about what God's going to show you this morning, how it's going to affect your hearts, how He's going to encourage you and lead you to repentance, and all those things that God does through the power of His Word. So yes, so this morning, perseverance in the face of suffering, James chapter 5, we're going to be in verses 10 and 11. And so my question is this morning, have you ever had a conversation with someone who was indifferent to God? Raise your hand if you've had a conversation where someone was completely indifferent to God. Okay, I think we all have. I mean, if we've lived life at all, we've met someone that was just kind of like, I don't really care about God. Maybe they had the idea that God was just, you know, sitting way up on a cloud, didn't care about them in any way. He was completely separated from their life. And maybe you've met people that have come to that point in their lives because they say things like this. Well, okay, where was God during 9/11? Where was God during Katrina, you know, whatever, catastrophe? Or where was God when my mom died? Where was God when I was going through a divorce? Have you had those kind of conversations with people? I think we know those people. Have you ever heard someone say literally that God is just cold-hearted? He doesn't care about anyone. I think in today's culture we see that a lot, because we can open up our devices and we see all the terrible stuff that's happening in our world just minute by minute. And I think we all think that we know people that ask, well, what's God doing? If God is love, how could He allow these terrible things to happen in my family and in this world? And as believers, if you've grown up in the church, you know, we come to this place and we're like, we don't say things like that. No, we're not going to say those things. That's blasphemous to say that God's cold-hearted, or that He would, you know, I would never say anything like that. But how many of us as Christians have at least entertained thoughts that are similar to that when we're going through something difficult? How many of you have at least said, why, God? Have you ever had that? Have you ever said those two words? Why, God? Why would you allow me to go? I thought you loved me. Where are you, God? Maybe it's the loss of a job. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. There's so many struggles that can produce these thoughts even among believers, and we say, God, why? Now, if we look at Scripture, if you're abiding in God's Word, if we're spending time with our Heavenly Father, we know that these thoughts of that God being cold-hearted, that He doesn't care, we know that those are not correct. But it doesn't mean that we don't have those thoughts sometimes in our lives, or that these thoughts still surface when things are bad. James understood this. He understood the people that he was writing to, the church at that time. He saw this in the church. The early church faced incredibly tough times of persecution. incredibly tough times, things that here in America, in a place that, aren't you thankful that we were able to come this morning and worship? I mean, did you even think about that this morning when you got up? Or were you thinking about, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. It's so cold. Just want to stay in my covers. It's been a long day. I had to cook food. Finally, all the people left my house. I just want to sleep. I mean, were those the thoughts? Or did you wake up going, I'm so thankful I live in a country that, man, we get to worship for free. We get to worship. No one's stopping us and asking us if we believe in the name of Jesus. No one's stopping us and saying you cannot go to that place and worship Christ. No one's stopping us from singing these songs that proclaim the name of Jesus. The church, when James was writing, was being persecuted for their belief in Jesus. James understood this. And we saw last week how, as we looked at last week, you know, being patient for Christ to come back, that was very important to that early church because they were going, please, Lord, come quickly. Please, Lord, come quickly. This is very difficult. And James is like, be patient. Christ is coming. Use that time to share the name of Jesus. Use that time to preach the name of Jesus. Use that time to grow in him. And so he moves on this morning in this passage, and we see how James encourages and commanded the church to be patient, but we also see how he's commanding and encouraging the church to persevere in the face of suffering. And I love what James does here, okay? He doesn't just say, hey, church, come on, grow up. Just deal with it. He doesn't say that. He actually gives them, he reminds them of real people. I love that. He reminds them of real life examples of people that they've read about, that they have heard about in their as they studied God and as they studied the Bible, people who stood firm in the face of adversity. He uses real stories. And I just this is like an aside, okay? This would be like the camera moves in over here and I look into the camera and I talk for a minute. Okay, okay. Fireside chat with Pastor Chris, you know, on the side over here. But and just let me go here for just a second, okay? James uses real people, real stories. And I just thought, what an important reminder for us to be building relationships with people. What an important reminder. We need to be telling our story. People want to hear our story. They want to hear what God is doing in our lives. Not just the Sunday school answers. They want to hear what, like, okay, tell me something real. And we can't do that if we don't get outside these walls and start building relationships with people, with our neighbors, with our coworkers, with the people we walk down the halls of our schools or in our college campuses or wherever God has placed us. We've got to build relationships with people that don't know Jesus so that we can tell them our story. James is using real people in this passage, and it's really cool to see how he does that. James's readers needed encouragement. We need this encouragement this morning as well. We can truly say, okay, it's Thanksgiving week. We can be thankful as we deal with suffering. It's tough to say, but let's look at what James says. Look at James chapter 5. Let me read verses 10 and 11, and we'll jump into this. As an example of suffering and patience, we just came out of that passage on patience. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Two little simple verses, but let's dig into these. I think these are verses that we just kind of skip over sometimes, like, okay, yeah, prophets, Job, okay, move on. What's he talking about here? Why is he using these two different groups to encourage believers and to encourage us? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this time. We are so thankful for Jesus, for Christ, for loving us so much that you died on the cross for us, that we truly do have freedom in Christ. And God, I pray that we would be reminded of your love this morning, even as we, and many of us, are walking through difficult times or have walked through. And maybe we've entertained those thoughts, Lord, of like, why, God, are you there? Are you still there? Do you still love me? God, help us to see very clearly what what it means to persevere through these hard times, through suffering. God, I pray that your word would speak to our hearts this morning. And I am so thankful that we can gather here to worship you. It's something that we should never take lightly, that we are here and we can open your word. And so, God, I pray that you would speak to us. I pray that would change our hearts, that as we move out of these walls, that we would live a life that would point others to you and build relationships with people that would give us opportunities to share our story of how you've changed our life. We thank you for the gospel. And we thank you for your word. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So James uses two examples to remind his readers and to remind us of what it looks like to persevere through suffering. So the first group that he talks about is the prophets. The prophets are an example of suffering and patience. Look back again, verse 10. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. And then the very first part of verse 11, behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. James begins this really small passage of reminding his listeners of the prophets. So this is a real brief, just overview. Let's think about some of the prophets. Who were the prophets? The prophets were those who God called to speak the name of the Lord. That was their function. One prophet would be Jeremiah. And think about what happened to him. Jeremiah, because of his faithfulness in preaching God's word, he was cast into an empty cistern filled with only mud, where he was left to sink in the mud. I mean, that's what he got for preaching the name of the Lord. He did survive and was rescued, so that was good. Micaiah was thrown into prison and only given bread and water. Moses, he had to, you know what some of his suffering was? He had to put up with the rebellious Israelites constantly. I mean, seriously, that was true suffering for him. David, he had to flee for his life. He had to run from Saul. Like, he had to literally go on the run and go into hiding. Elijah had to deal with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. He had to deal with all that. Daniel, you guys remember what Daniel? Daniel was, what happened to Daniel? Lion's den, there you go. Okay, he was thrown into the den of lions. Amos faced just literally lies and scorn. We can move into the New Testament. We think about John the Baptist. He was imprisoned and then he lost his head for the testimony of his faith or God's truth. It's interesting, you know, the writer of Hebrews, he commends these prophets. He is reminding us that what the prophets faced. And let me just read these three verses, Hebrews 11, 36 through 38. Hebrews says this, others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews just reminding us what those who stood up for the name of Jesus, some of them, what they had to go through. But then the book of Hebrews also encourages Christians to persevere also, just as James is here. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That whole section of Hebrews is reminding us that these people have done that. We can look to them and say, we can do this. We can set our eyes on Jesus. We can also persevere. We can also run this race with endurance. We have the power of Christ in us. And James here is wanting his readers to understand that the prophets suffered because they were doing the right thing. He's like, guys, you're suffering persecution for the church. Guess what? Others have come before you and done the same thing. And the reason that they suffered is because they stood up for Jesus. They stood up for the right thing. They were speaking truth. And the problem is, why is there suffering? Why is there perseverance? It's because when God's truth is made known, there are people that do not like that truth. And they get upset at truth. Jesus is truth. The name of Jesus is truth. Christ is truth. And when truth is made known from God's word, there are those that oppose it. There are people that do not like to hear God's truth. And we could go through hundreds and hundreds of years. I mean, just within the last couple of thousand years, we could spend hours talking about people who have suffered or lost their life for the sake of Christ. Missionaries, but not just missionaries, but just people who have come to know Jesus. Real people. Do you guys know anybody here that have suffered because they knew Jesus? Their life was endangered or they lost everything. We don't experience that very often here in our country because it's free to worship. Like we said, we got to get up this morning and come and worship. But there are people all over this world that to stand for the name of Jesus means loss of life or loss of property. It's stuck with me for years and years now, but I will never forget when Garrett and I went to Nepal, and we were there to just really train pastors. And as we taught in this little metal building, packed in with 80 people that had traveled 3 to 5 hours hiking to get there, there was a man that kept walking by the road. He just kept walking by. He would stop and he would listen. And then he'd come back a little while later, and we were not doing a crusade. We're not doing a revival, like an American revival. We were teaching pastors, and all we were doing is walking through Scripture. But here's this man, he was hearing God's word. He was hearing the truth. And I just remember coming out of that little building, and there was a group of men, and they were all huddled, and this man was praying to accept Christ from just walking by this building. And I was so excited for him. I was like, It was a reminder that, like, oh wow, God's word is so powerful. It's so true. We weren't having a manipulative invitation or anything. We were just teaching God's word, and this man heard the word of God and was saved. And I was so excited. And then the next day I learned that his water was cut off. He lost his job. He was kicked out of his family. All within 24 hours. And it hit me. It's like, this is not America. To stand for Jesus is the real deal. And he knew he needed freedom in Christ more than he needed freedom and whatever he had in his village. There are people all over this place, all over this world. There have been people for hundreds of years who have lost their life, that have been martyred, that have lost everything because they have stood for the truth of Christ. I have a couple books in my office that are so humbling to read, just story after story of Christians who have given their life because they stood for the name of Jesus. These stories put things in perspective. Hearing these stories helps us to see how we need also to understand, and this is not easy for us to think about, but to receive the suffering in our life. That's so counterculture, isn't it? That's not what America tells us to do. Receive suffering. No, we're running away from suffering, right? We're spending money to get away from suffering. We're doing everything we can to live as comfortable as possible. But we need to have a spiritual understanding of what this means. What does it mean to suffer? And that we are going to go through tough things. Some things is just because of life, because of the brokenness of this world and because of sin. Some things because we're standing for the name of Jesus. And James is reminding, and what I love what James does here is he gives these prophets a beatitude, basically. He gives them a beatitude. James 5:11, look at that first part. He says, "Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast." Blessed are those who remain steadfast in the name of Jesus. Those who persevered, some to the death, and through trials and suffering are called blessed. These prophets were blessed. We as believers are also blessed when we persevere through the sufferings of life, when we persevere and we keep our eyes on Jesus. How, you're like, okay, yeah, whatever, Chris. It's easy to say up here. How are we blessed by going through hard times? Does anyone want hard times in their life? Raise your hand, I mean, just proudly. No, nobody's doing that, right? That's just, we don't want that. We're scared of that. We do everything we can to not have sufferings, and you know, that's just natural. That's just what we do as humans. But how can we be blessed by walking through hard times, difficulties, sufferings. Here's just a few things that happen in our life. And if you've experienced perseverance, not even just perseverance, but just a difficult time, a difficult season, here is what happens. How are we blessed? First of all, our faith is always matured, right? If you're a believer in Jesus and you've gone through something difficult, was your faith matured on the other side of it? Yes, absolutely. Not only is our faith matured, but we also find a new or renewed dependence on God. I think what happens is when we get super comfortable, and this is why there's always those warnings to the wealthy, too. It's like when you get enough to kind of do things on your own and you get really comfortable, we lose our dependence on God, right? We stop looking to Him. We stop seeking after, like, God, help me, walk with me, guide my steps. We lose that. So when we walk through difficult times, we get this renewal, this new dependence on God. And in that process, we are drawn closer to Him. In that process, we literally get to feel the comfort and strength and peace that He provides. That peace that goes beyond any understanding. Not just like, oh, things are okay, but like that deep peace that He brings. We also are reminded that He is the one in control. How many of you guys try so hard to be in control? Jimmy's raising his hand. Okay. All right. We got three people. We really. Guys, I know you all. I know you. I have conversations with you. We all want to be in control. We all want to make our plans. We all want to do things our way. Sometimes God allows us to go through things to be reminded He is the one in control. We have to get up every day and say, God, You're the one in control. I'm going to make plans, but You've got to guide my steps. You're the one that knows best for my life. And suffering, going through difficult times, brings us to our knees sometimes, and I think that's a good thing. We are reminded who God is, that He is the one that's in control, that He is our strength, He is our comfort, He is the one that leads us. And so that my question to all of us this morning is this: what are you facing today? What have you faced in the past? Have you found that dependence upon God again? Maybe you're in the midst of struggle, and you've got so much anxiety and so much depression and so much worry and so much anger, all these things. Maybe it's time to look up, maybe because you're already down here. I'm taking a risk here, being this low. You're here. It's time to look up and say, God, I'm done. I cannot do this anymore. I need You. I cannot keep trying to make this work. I need You. Take this anger, take this worry, take this anxiety, guide my steps. Help me just to release what I'm trying to do and depend on You. Look for Him for that strength. Look for Him for that comfort. And in the midst of these trials, in the midst of these sufferings, James is saying, you must persevere. You must persevere. And I do believe that true believers persevere. And I think there's religious people, and there's church-going people, and sometimes when they face struggle, they run from God. They're like, I don't want to believe in God. I hate God. He's cold-hearted. You know, those people, they're gone because their faith wasn't real. It wasn't rooted in that relationship with Jesus Christ. It was just kind of this thing they were doing, this thing that these motions they were going through. James says we must persevere through our sufferings. We look back at the Beatitudes, which we went through during our series on the Sermon on the Mount. But listen to, just be reminded of some of these Beatitudes. Remember, the Beatitudes, we called them characteristics of believers. Like, this is what a believer looks like. Well, blessed are those, approved by God, are these people that walk with Christ. Listen to what Jesus said. Matthew 5:10 says this: blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account, on the name of Jesus. Blessed are those who live this way. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Blessed are those who stand up for the name of Jesus. Blessed are those who walk through sufferings, persecution for the name of Jesus. Blessed are those who stand up for what's right, just for righteousness' sake, to do the right thing. Blessed are you, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Paul would remind us in Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. This takes us back to last week, right? Be patient. Be patient. We get to spend eternity with Christ forever. Be patient as you wait. Look to Christ. Live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. Seek after him. Abide in him. Grow in him. Mature in him. Because I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed. That's good news, right? That's hope. James is reminding the early church to persevere. He's reminding them to be patient. Christ is coming back, but not in our time, not in our the way of our time thinks. We don't know the time that he's coming back. So be patient. Look to him. He's also saying, church, persevere. Persevere in the name for my name. Persevere through whatever you go through. Just like the prophets did. Be reminded of them. And then James continues with maybe the greatest story of suffering and perseverance in the Bible, and that is the story of Job. Look at the second half of verse 11. I like how he's talking to this church several thousand years ago. He's like, hey, you've heard of the steadfastness of Job, right? they knew about Job. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. The examples of the prophets, super encouraging, but then James adds this incredible story of perseverance in the Bible, and that is Job. Let me just give you a little recap of this story if you don't remember everything. And this is, again, you can read that book and be reminded. But Job is a man who was prosperous in every way. He had a beautiful family and was extremely wealthy. Yay! Prosperity gospel. Everything's great. He must have really had faith, right? But most important, he feared God. That was really what was important. He was blameless and upright. He feared, that means revered. He knew God's place. He feared God and he shunned evil. That's who Job was. It had nothing to do with that he was wealthy or he had a beautiful family or everything was going great. The fact is that he feared God. Satan thought that if all that good stuff was taken from Job, then surely he would curse God. So God allowed Satan to take everything from Job. That's what happened. His oxen and donkeys, they're taken. His servants are killed. Fire consumes his sheep. That's just crazy. His camels are taken, and his servants are killed, and all his children are dead. But amazingly, Job did not do what Satan thought he would do. He did not curse God. Do you ever look back at that story and go, what would I have done? I ask that question all the time. What would I have done? I ask the question like if I'd been in the time of Jesus walking around, we're like, would I have believed in Jesus? Or would I have just followed religion? I mean, I ask myself that question. Job did not curse God. Job 1:20 and 21 says this, then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I come before from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job loses everything, and he's still saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives, he takes away. It's just what life is. This seasons of things that happen, he allows things to be there, great. He allows things to be taken, so we grow in him. But Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And so Satan gave his body sores. And then here's what happened. All his friends and family came around him and said, hey, you know what would be best is if you just curse God and die. Camera shift, fireside, side note. Talking over here. Have you ever been given bad advice by, by people that thought they really knew things about things. They were so wise. Seek godly counsel. Start here. Start in God's word. Seek people that are following Christ. Don't just Google, hey, what should I do? Go to somebody that's walking with the Lord. Go to someone that's, you know, that's listening. And even those people, they're sinful people. But at least they can be praying for you. You can get together. You can pray about those things. Be led by the Holy Spirit. These people coming around Job's like, just curse God and die. You must be doing something awful. Just repent. Just do whatever it takes. But Job endured. Job persevered. He even protested to God, but he refused to renounce God. And listen to what Job says. Just think about your life, losing everything in your life. Your family, your children, your wealth, your everything. You got sores all over your body, everything. And listen to what Job says, Job 19, 25 through 27. He says this, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me, for I know my Redeemer lives." This should be our cry in the face of suffering. And that is difficult to hear. Job was at the very end of himself. He's like, if my flesh just rots away, at least I'm going to be with my Lord. For I know my Redeemer lives. Job was still blameless and upright. He never stopped believing in God. And I look at that, and I want to just encourage us this morning in this. Isn't it encouraging to know that God understands what we're going through? Isn't it great that he's, Jesus has been through everything that we've been through? Isn't it awesome to know that God understands our tears? Isn't it great that we have scripture that says, you know what? There are times that we don't even know how to pray. We don't even know how to utter words, but the Holy Spirit knows our heart and intercedes there. Isn't it great that in your suffering, when you don't even know what to say, God's hearing your heart and your cry? Isn't it awesome that he is a perfect father? That God loves you, that he adopted you in his family, he gave you the right to be called children of God. He is your child. You are his child. We are his children, so we get to come to him. There was a song that we used to sing back in the late 90s, and it was just this idea of sitting with God for a while. If I could just sit with you a while, I just always imagine myself just crawling up and being held. That's kind of strange as an adult to think that way, but just to know that he loves us so much that no matter what you're going through, he gets it. He's there. He gives us strength. Isn't it good that he accepts our questions? Job never renounced God, but he did have some questions. Like, God, why? God, what's going on? He accepts our questions. He accepts our protests. As we continue to acknowledge his sovereignty. God, I know you're doing something here. You say that you're working everything out for your good. I'm going to have to trust you, but Lord, I'm struggling. I'm struggling. God, help me to feel your peace. Give me strength through this time. God blessed Job. He turned his life around. The question we really have to ask ourselves is this. In the midst of suffering, maybe you're right there today, in the midst of suffering, can you say, blessed be the name of the Lord? And can you say, my Redeemer lives? That's tough. That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Can that man in Nepal say, as he walked back to his village, now proclaiming the name of Jesus, blessed be the name of the Lord? You have no more water. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives, he takes away. You're no longer in this family, and you don't have a job anymore. Blessed be the name. That is difficult. And it's difficult for us to even comprehend because of where we live. Because we got up this morning, And our biggest concern was that we had to get out of our warm bed to get here. Our biggest concern was like, do I have time to get my donut on the way to church? Because they stopped serving donuts at my church. They used to have donuts everywhere. Now I got to drive over here and pay for my own donut. Like, these are our concerns, right? These are our, like, oh, the suffering. Yeah, it sounds hilarious and sad, right? Again, if you've been, there's the concept is this, and not everyone probably agrees with it here because, again, we live in America. It would be like everybody needs to get out of this country and go see what the world looks. I mean, everybody should go on a mission trip, even if it's 1 week. I mean, it's just kind of that's some people's thoughts. And there's lots of criticism of short-term mission trips, and if it's just a tour, I mean, just a tourist trip, you know, that's okay. The deal is, getting out of this country changed the way I looked at things. Going and worshiping with people in another country, going and sitting in a group that they were just so glad to gather, and they could have cared less if there was electricity, or if there was air conditioning, or heat, or if there were words on a screen, or if they could hear the microphone. I mean, they just were so glad to gather in a group and worship Jesus. So what I'm saying is, we don't really understand some of the magnitude of suffering. But if we face it, if we're facing it, whether it's, and it might not just be spiritual persecution, but it might be just a terrible season, a loss of life, a loss of job, a loss of relationships that are not healthy, can we look to Jesus and persevere and say, God, you're the one in control. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job's primary blessings were spiritual in nature. Job 42, let me read some more from Job. Job 42, 1 through 6 says this, "Then Job answered the Lord and said," just hear this. Can you pray this? "I know that you can do all things." This is Job. "I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted." Take that verse and write it down. Whatever you're going through right now, whatever it is, can you just say, "Lord, okay, I know you can do all things and there is no purpose that can be thwarted. Nothing can be changed because you are sovereign." He goes on and says, "Who is this that hides counsel with knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Hear and I will speak. I will question you and you make it known to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." Job, through all of that, came to that very first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit. He finally got it. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Coming to the end of myself because Christ is everything. Coming to the end of who I am, who I'm the one in control, and saying, "God, you're the one in control. You're the one that has the purpose. God, let me get on track with you. Let me follow you. You are the one that's in control." And as we face sufferings, we too must persevere as these prophets did. We too must persevere as Job did. We must be patient as we wait for Christ's return. We must allow God to grow us in maturity. We must allow God to teach us humility. That's tough, right? Teach us humility as we grow in giving all of ourselves to Him. I wonder sometimes, maybe you're just holding on so hard, and God just keeps allowing you, because He loves you and you're His child, to get to that point where you say, "I'm done. I'm so done trying to be in control." Maybe that's where you are. Maybe that's part of what He's allowing you to go through, just to be dependent upon Him again, because you try so hard to be the one in control. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed are the poor in spirit, coming to the end of ourselves. James concludes this passage, reminding us and saying how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Look at verse 11. Look down. This is God's word speaking to us, which says this: how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Do you need to be reminded of that this morning? God is compassionate. God is merciful. God is not cold and harsh, sitting on some planet out in the middle of nowhere, not caring about us. God is involved with this world. He is sovereign. He is driving history to his purpose. He is involved in our lives. He has a plan for this world and for our lives. He loves us. And God loves you, and he desires to have a growing relationship with you through Jesus Christ. He wants a relationship with you. The God who created everything in this universe wants a relationship with you. Is that pretty amazing? That's pretty amazing. This is not some religion where we all gather and go through a bunch of motions and spin a bunch of wheels and say a bunch of repeated prayers that we don't even know what they mean and pray to a wooden statue. Because that's what they did. That's what they were doing in Nepal. Showing up at the nastiest temple I've ever seen in my life, with monkeys all around making messes and little kids spinning wheels. They had no clue what they were doing. But that man heard the truth coming out of a little hut that he needed Jesus, and he gave his life for that. And all that religion that was around just filling that land was false. And he heard the truth. And then he faced sufferings for that. He faced persecution for that. God desires a growing relationship with you through Jesus Christ. Just know this. God is the perfect Father. I try hard to be a good dad, and I screw up all the time. I'm still trying to get my kids to understand that, you know, I'm sorry for things that I've done. I hope they forgive me someday for things that I've done, things I've said. But I love my kids. I love them. Like, I pray for them, and I want the best for them. And then I think, oh my goodness, I'm just a broken human father. God is perfect. I think how much I love my kids, and then I think, but God's the perfect Father. So how much more does he truly love us and understand us? We have been adopted into his family. He is a good Father. He is involved in our lives. He loves you. He has a plan for you. He is full of compassion. Full of compassion. Do you realize that? Because if you think God's just out there cold-hearted, then you don't know God. So come to know God through Christ. Come to know him, and you're going to see and understand his compassion and his mercy. As we close, let me just ask this. Is this a hard time in your life? Are you going through a difficult time? Seek Jesus. Come to him. Do you feel, maybe you're a believer, do you feel far away from God? Come back and seek him. Abide in him. Or maybe it's because you have never made Christ, that Christ is not the Lord of your life. You've never placed your faith in him. Maybe it's time to come to him. Maybe Christ is just like that man walking by hearing the gospel. Maybe you're in this place and you're hearing the gospel. Maybe you're watching this online and you're hearing the gospel and you're being drawn because Christ is calling you. Come to him in faith. Trust him as Savior. Believer, tough question. Are you angry at God? Are you angry at God? I challenge you. I invite you. I dare you. Just trying to reach everybody here. Seek him. Just go back and seek him and say, God, I go back to him and say, God, I'm angry at you. Show me who you are. Seek him. Job protested, but he never denounced him. Come back, seek the Lord, abide in him. Believer, look around. Just look around and see where he's working. Stop trying to make your own path. Would you look around and seek him and say, where are you working, Lord? Where do you want me? And go to where he's working. He's going to use you. And that's where you're going to find peace. That's where you're going to find joy. That's where you're going to find happiness. Look around. Join him where he's working. Let the suffering and struggles in your life be a testimony to God. How many of you have gone through something difficult and then God used you to minister to somebody else? I mean, I've seen that in your lives. So I remember, you know, Jamie going through cancer recently. I would see all these people contact her on Facebook, like, that need encouragement. I mean, and you guys have testimonies like that too. Maybe God has healed your marriage. Maybe God has brought you through a difficult time. Maybe you have recently lost a mom or a dad, and God has put people in your path. Let those sufferings that you face, that Christ matured you and made you more dependent on, let that be a testimony to those people around you. Build relationships. Tell your story. Let the perseverance of the prophets and Job also be an encouragement to you this morning. There have been people that have gone before us. So find courage in that. And remember, God is good, and he loves you. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. It's so awesome when difficult passages that from the surface we're like, oh my goodness, Lord, you're calling us to enjoy our sufferings or persevere. Like sometimes we just thank you that we can dig in and see really how encouraging your scripture is. And in the midst of all that, we see how much you love us. God, I pray for anyone here that's walking through difficult times, that maybe they are angry. They are saying those two words, why, God? I pray if they're believers, they would be reminded of how awesome you are and how much you love them, how much compassion you have, that you're merciful, that even in the midst of these struggles, there can be joy as we find that new dependence, renewal of dependence on you as we mature, as we draw closer to you. I pray if someone is here that's just like, God's cold, he's cold. I pray that they're hearing the gospel this morning. They are seeing that you love them, that you sent your son Jesus to die for them. And I pray that they would be drawn to you, that they would hear this truth, and that they would find a relationship and salvation in you. I pray as the church we would be reminded of how important it is to tell our story, to build relationships with people, to share the name of Jesus with those around us. To stand for truth no matter what. And that in the midst, as we walk through a rough time, as we seek you, that we will grow in you, that we will mature, that we will keep our eyes on you, that we will be reminded that you are sovereign, that you have a plan. And I pray for some of us that might be in the midst of struggles, that we just need to let go. We need to let all that weight fall off and that to give it over to you. To realize maybe that we have just been trying to carry it, that we've been trying to do things our way, to come to you on our knees and just be able to look at you and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. I trust you. I trust you with my life. God, we love you. And we want to continue to worship you this morning. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.